Well, here we are again. I always find this an interesting venue, having people behind me as an educator. That's always a challenge for me sometimes. But over the past several weeks, various members of our community have shared with us chapters 1 through 3 of the Apostolic Exhortation of Pope Francis titled Evangelii Gaudium, or The Joy of the Gospel. And it is our hope that you have had the joy of reading along with your own copy in book form, or maybe downloaded one of the free versions from the internet. Our Holy Father begins this exhortation with a statement, I believe, that gives direction to each of our sharings, as well as the discernment of our community and how to live it out. The Holy Father writes to us in Article 1, "With Christ, joy is constantly born anew. In this exhortation, I wish to encourage the Christian faithful to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy." So, to this end, Sharon Harmon introduced us to the document by focusing our attention on the Holy Father's three principal groups of concern: the members of the local church, the baptized Christians who have fallen away, and those who do not know Christ or who have rejected him. Larry Lenzen, through his summary of chapter 1, challenged us to be intentional in our efforts to pursue someone in one or more of these three groups. And then Brenda Lenzen gave us the Holy Father's exhortation to guard our hearts in four ways: by saying no to selfishness and spiritual sloth, by refusing to be a sourpuss or be devoid of the joy of the Lord, by saying yes to the new relationships Christ brings to us, and by embracing unity through the rejection of division. Last week, Bob Montgomery, my beloved husband, through his summary of chapter 3, pointed out that the Holy Father wants us to be agents, not secret agents, but agents of evangelization, wherever we are, regardless of our age, our education, or our state in life. We were baptized into this agency. Because we have experienced God's saving love, we are empowered as agents of evangelization. And Bob gave specific and simple ways to be such agents. Okay, I don't know about you, but I'm hearing the Mission Impossible theme in my head. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Now my task is to provide a summary of the first two aspects of chapter 4 this week, and Bob will focus on the last two aspects next week. Chapter 4 of this apostolic exhortation focuses on the social dimensions of evangelization. We are reminded from the very start in Article 176 that to evangelize is to make the kingdom of God present in our world. God reaches out to us in love, and we respond by reaching back to him with the love poured out on us, and then we reflect that love to others. This is caritas, or charity. Agents of evangelization go out. In our world today, charity has been reduced to an act of assistance provided out of pity. But charity is much more. If we look back at Article 36, the Holy Father reminds us that before all else, the gospel invites us to respond to the God of love who saves us, to see God in others, and to go forth from ourselves to seek the good of others. This is the social dimension of evangelization. Our redemption has a social dimension because God in Christ redeems not only the individual person, but also the social relations existing between men. To believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in everyone means realizing that he seeks to penetrate every human situation and all social relationships. Our acceptance of the message of salvation is intertwined with genuine fraternal love. Going forth from ourselves toward our brothers and sisters is an absolute priority. This is what it means to be agents of evangelization. Our loving response to God should not be seen simply as an accumulation of small personal gestures to individuals in need, a kind of a la carte, or a series of acts aimed solely at easing our conscience. Both Christian preaching and Christian life are meant to have an impact on society. The mission of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ is a mandate of charity that encompasses all dimensions of existence, all individuals, all areas of community life, and all peoples. Our faith is not simply meant for ourselves and to prepare souls for heaven. God wants us to be happy in this world too. And he wants this happiness in the world for everyone. Our ongoing Christian conversion challenges us to look closely at those aspects of life related to the social order and the pursuit of the common good, the good for all. The Holy Father reminds us in Article 183 that an authentic faith always involves a deep desire to change the world, to transmit values, to leave this earth somehow better than we found it. Next, the Holy Father focuses our social considerations on the poor and our call to be instruments of God for the liberation and promotion of the poor and for enabling them to be fully a part of society. We are called to hear, to listen to the cry of the poor, both individually and collectively, for food, for education, for access to health care, and above all for employment, that they might express and enhance the dignity of their lives. A just wage enables them to have adequate access to all the other goods which are destined for our common use. We must be deeply moved by the suffering of others. Such empathy will lead us to have mercy on them, even at personal sacrifice to ourselves. This is not terribly complicated. We're called to humble service of each other, to love one another, and to have justice and mercy toward the poor. It's that simple. Well, at least it's that simple to say. In the early church, authentic faith was determined by how well the poor were treated, as seen in Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. Society breaks down when we do not stand in solidarity with the poor, but rather become carried away by the limitless possibilities for consumption and distraction offered by contemporary society. We need to keep in mind that Mary was a lowly maiden from a small town on the outskirts of an empire. Jesus was born in a stable, and when he was presented in the temple, doves were the gift because the family could not afford a lamb. His message was addressed to the poor first. Our Holy Father exhorts every one of us to allow our own hearts to be touched by the poor, to become their friends, to find them beautiful, and to allow them to lead us closer to the heart of the Lord. We, the Christian community of God's delight, have ministries to the people of God that includes the poor. Our school, Mount St. Michael Catholic School, is one of those. As families discover our school, they see and experience the joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, living and active in a personal way. And they desire such an environment for their children. While every student in our school is charged tuition that is less than the actual cost to assist their families, still 55% of our students require some kind of financial assistance. And 32% of our students live in families with incomes recognized by the federal government as qualifying their children for a free and reduced lunch. So often the only image of our community school presented to the members of the community is numbers on a page and business aspects. It is so easy to get caught up in the numbers and the bottom line. However, that can cause us to lose sight of the real mission of our school. Because we love God, because we have encountered him in a personal way through the power of the Holy Spirit, and our lives are being changed, We love God's people and want the children among his people and their families, whether rich, poor, or in the middle, to experience such an encounter with the living God through a spiritually rich and academically rigorous environment. A community within the Christian community of God's delight we call Mount St. Michael Catholic School. Our school is one way we as a community express our authentic faith through a deep desire to change the world, to transmit values, to leave this earth somehow better than we found it. We pray that more families will discover this treasure of our community and that our doors are able to open wider. But as the Holy Father points out, the economics of it all can be challenging. Our community's desire is not only to serve the people of God with dignity through our ministries, but also to respect the dignity of those working and serving in our ministries by providing a just wage. The economics of it all can be challenging. So in Article 203, the Holy Father points out that affirming and supporting human dignity should be the aim of every economic system. He sees inequality as the root of social ills. But in society, when we raise the idea of ethics, people are irked by it. It gets in the way of profit. In Article 207, Pope Francis admonishes any church community. If it thinks it can comfortably go its own way without creative concern and effective cooperation in helping the poor to live with dignity and reach out to everyone, will also risk breaking down, however much it may talk about social issues or criticize governments. It will easily drift into a spiritual worldliness camouflaged by religious practices, unproductive meetings, and empty talk. Oh, that's hard to hear. But our Holy Father says this with affection and the best of intentions. The Holy Father speaks this to us so that we may attain a way of living and thinking which is more humane, more noble, and more fruitful, and which will bring dignity to our presence as a community on this earth. So let's return to the Holy Father's words at the beginning of this exhortation. With Christ, joy is constantly born anew. In this exhortation, I wish to encourage the Christian faithful to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy. As we are in this time of discernment, what does chapter 4 of Pope Francis' Apostolic Exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel, have to say to us, the members of the Christian community of God's delight, both individually and collectively, as agents of evangelization? What is this new chapter of evangelization marked by joy that the Lord has for us? May our hearts be open and the Holy Spirit be our guide. Amen.